Blog Talk Radio.
Could you understand the way I feel?
Thank you and welcome to Pamela Talent's Enlightenment. I'm so grateful tonight. Assalamu alaikum, which means peace and love, peace to all. Well, I'm so honored tonight to have a beautiful, remarkable, very talented young lady. And I hope I get her name right, but if not, I'm sure she will correct me. Dana Madison. She's from New York. She's was I believe 2007. Excuse me.
Yes, I'm here. Okay. Need me to clarify anything? Dana Madison and Missoula, New York, 2017.
Yes, beautiful. Miss Wheelchair, and she is such a beautiful inspiration to me. So tonight we're going to join our sister Rhino, and we're going to have a great, great time. I do have a bit of a clip that we're going to play and to learn a little bit more about her. But for those that are online, please don't be shy. Push one, and definitely I will bring you right up in, and we're going to have a great, great time tonight. But before I do that, let me check something a bit. Okay, we're going to go ahead and play a video to give more of a background, because I kind of have a cold tonight, so I don't want to grasp it. So we're going to go ahead and play the video. But for those that are on, if you have a question, a comment, or whatever you would like to share with our dear sister, please don't be shy. This program is about love, positiveness, and et cetera. So with that, let's play the clip.
It's a special honor for an inspirational woman.
My name is Dania Manderson, and I'm the current Miss Wheelchair in New York.
The first thing most people notice is the motorized wheelchair, but quickly, Dania Manderson's smile is what attracts attention. It's warm, inviting, ever-present, and indicative of her positive attitude, in spite of a horrible circumstance.
I have muscular dystrophy. I always tell people I'm one of Jerry's kids. And that's SMA type 2. And muscular dystrophy is just a disease where your muscles weaken over time.
Manderson, 37, from the Bronx, a mother and 8th grade English teacher, had never heard of Miss Wheelchair New York.
A friend of mine who was a former Miss Wheelchair New York nominated me for the pageant. So when I was called by them, I was like, I don't know what this is. I'm really not a pageant person. I'm just a teacher. My bread and butter is to just go into a classroom and teach every day. And she said, well, you were nominated, and we were really interested in having you compete. And I'm like, I don't do competition.
She reconsidered.
There were a lot of questions. I don't think it was a beauty pageant. You know, when I got there, I was like, oh, my God, I bought all this free stuff, and I don't really need to because it's all questions. It was a battle of the minds. So it was good because I don't think that I had thought of myself as an advocate until this pageant. I didn't understand that there were so many other things that I could be doing.
The title, Miss Wheelchair New York, comes with great responsibility.
It's a sisterhood where we do advocacy work. The job is to get people to be aware of some of the struggles that people with disabilities have to go through, and to also highlight a lot of the positive things that people with disability are doing in the community.
Dania Manderson's wheelchair has become a podium from which she lobbies lawmakers and fights for reforms that can help people with disabilities. One of her causes?
Personal care attendants and the lack of a wage increase. It's very hard to recruit, to train, to basically keep personal care attendants because the wages are so low. And these are people who are devoting their lives to basically being your hands and your feet. You know, they're up all the day. Whatever you would do for yourself, getting water, scratching your back, those are all the things they have to constantly do for you. But they're not being paid fairly. And it's a shame because you lose a lot of good people and you end up with people who are not so qualified for the job. And I don't think everyone is aware of that deficit that exists for people with disabilities. So I'm trying to, I suffer with that myself. you know, it's hard to recruit people. It's hard to find people because once you tell them the salary, it's like, you know, you want me to stay overnight out of my house for that? It's kind of hard.
Dania Madison was born in Jamaica.
My mother realized that there was something wrong at the age when children would normally be walking around or at least start to walk independently. And when she took me to the doctor, they told her that I had muscular dystrophy. They didn't give her a specific type, so she didn't have a lot to go by. They advised her early on to leave me in a home for children, which she tried, but, you know, I guess a mother's love is a lot more complicated or complex than we know. So she brought me back home, and I think it became a case of nature versus nurture, and I'd like to think that nurture kind of won on this one.
The family moved to New York, where doctors transformed Manderson, figuratively and literally.
You might have read about my relationship with Dr. Shapiro. She's been my doctor since I've been, I want to say, 14. And she's been following my disability, and she was able to get me connected to Dr. Bawachi, who he's just a miracle worker. He was able to take my spine, which was curved 111 degrees. I was so deformed. And he made it happen, you know, in 2008. Yeah, he made it happen. So he gave me essentially an extension of life, because my heart and my lungs were being crushed, you know, and he gave me an opportunity to see my daughter get to 11, which is all I wanted to do, to watch her get past the worst.
Muscular dystrophy has robbed Dania Madison of her strength and mobility, but not the power of her mind. She attended New York University, earned a master's degree, and now teaches 8th grade English at Mott Hall Community School in Throgs Neck. On the first day of class,
I talk about the disability first.
Get it out of the way.
It's so much better. It's worked every year for me. You know, I speak about what that means in terms of what I'm capable of doing in the classroom, and then what that means in terms of how they're expected to function. You know, so they're given immediate ownership of maintaining the classroom, being responsible, you know, behaving yourselves. And children are a lot more mature for me. I absolutely love them. Once you can explain to them why, they're so easy to deal with.
She uses humor to make a connection.
So they'll have questions. Usually the chair is the first thing that they're curious about. They want to know what the buttons are about. Even though they're in the 8th grade, they want to know how fast it goes. You know, the boys always want to know how fast the chairs go, or can I do wheelies, you know. So just me being comfortable answering those questions, or even joking about it, like, you know, just don't steal my chair. You know, don't put me out of my chair to go joyride. You know, those things really soften them up, and then I become more real to them. I'm just a person who sits in a chair, as opposed to, what is this lady about? You know, why does she look normal, yet she's in this chair? Like, they ask those questions. Did you get in an accident? But I'm very comfortable sharing, you know, things with them, within reason, of course.
It seems before she was crowned Miss Wheelchair New York, Dania Madison was already an ambassador for the disabled.
My day-to-day job is to teach English, right? But I think most of the lessons that stick with my students is empathy. And I think that's a very important lesson for them, because it's what's going to make them treat other people better, whether it's someone with a disability or just someone who's down and out on their luck. You know, just that empathy factor. That's what makes people move. When you can feel what another person is going through, you will take action, because it's almost as if you're an extension of that person. So that's most of our learning lessons in my classroom.
The results?
They definitely become more compassionate people. You know, they're nicer at the end of the year. They grow, you know, into these little adults, you know, who go out there, and a lot of them are doing really, really positive things.
In the Bronx, Sean Adams, WCBS News Radio 880.
All right. Thank you. Beautiful, beautiful. Welcome, I was mistaken. Thank you so much again for being here. Such a beautiful resume, bio, et cetera. My first question to you, dear sister, me, then also in a wheelchair, I know there are perceptions or misperceptions that I have to deal with daily, and by the grace of Allah, I am dealing with it pretty well. Yes. What are one of the major preconceptions that you have experienced that, you know, some people think or just don't know about those of us that have to use a wheelchair?
Interesting question. I think that a lot of people are under the misconception that people with disabilities don't live full lives. I get a lot of questions, especially if I go out to a club or if I decide to wear something raunchy, or, you know, if I'm in a place where I would assume that people don't expect me to be, because people expect you to be in the house all day, or, you know, whatever the different preconceived ideas are that they have. And I feel like once they have, you know, experienced having a conversation with me or interacting with me, they walk away a little bit more enlightened about the potential of people with disabilities and just how normal we are. We're living the same lives, and through our conversations, they realize that we have had shared experiences. So I think that allows them to see me as more human, you know, as I might have mentioned in the other interview, and less of an anomaly.
Yes, absolutely. You're absolutely correct. It definitely amazes me. Some people are like, oh, you're not doing that? You know, it's a simple thing. Yes, I like to, you know, shop or different things of that. So it's definitely, though, you know, I've learned to be more patient, and as you said, to, if someone wants to know something, just ask. You do not have to whisper. One of the preconceptions that some people have of people that's confined to a wheelchair, they can't talk, or they're not intelligent enough to answer the question for themselves. Because I often run into that when I go to the doctor with my CA or my caregivers, you know, they may pose the question to that person that's with me. And when I was younger, it was a bit very annoying, but I was allowed to have a bit more patience. And I said, well, ma'am, you may ask me the question because I'm quite capable of, you know, answering the question, you know, not to be mean, but to enlighten them that I am capable of talking for myself. So you're absolutely right. Yes. It's odd to me. Also, like I said, your bio or your resume is so large. What, your mother, which is a beautiful thing. My next question is to you. We definitely have callers online. I'm so happy for those that do want to ask a question or make a comment or just give love. Then when you're ready to do that, please push one, and I gladly bring you right on. But I know that you've been teaching, which is a beautiful thing, teaching our children for over what, 12 to 14 years?
Yes, I'm in my 16th year. I've been teaching since 2004.
Wow, it's absolutely beautiful. We asked this question, then we beautiful. Okay, let me get the caller, and then I go back to that course, because I definitely don't want to keep anyone this way.
So, Pamela.
Okay. Yes.
How you doing, sister? This is Tyrone. How you feel, sister?
Yeah, I'm doing wonderful, brother Tyrone. Thank you so much for calling in. Such a beautiful brother. Yes, sir. Do you have any questions for our dear sister? Or you just want to give us some
really
love?
I just constantly admire you all. So, you know, when y'all think of disabilities, from that perspective, and you know me, I haven't served 21 years in prison, we're disabled as well. See, See, people don't understand when you don't have the use of your hands and your feet. That's what prison does to us. So, and it's, you essentially are, and I just want the people to understand you all's condition in a broader context, and it's not just necessarily always physical in that sense. And like being handicapped, as they want to style it, doesn't eliminate the use of your brain and your mind. So sometimes, which is the most powerful aspect of your body, but we put pride in limbs and things that allow us to touch, feel, you know, and move about, and we really disrespect the power of the brain, the mind. And I'm listening to the sister and all her accomplishments. And in that sense, it's like I was able to be all I can be in prison, what society wouldn't allow me, wouldn't help me or aid me to be. In other words, being able to gain two associate's degrees, to start a bachelor's program for the prisoners from the University of Illinois, all from prison, not being able to use our hands and our feet, rather, only our minds to execute and operate. And then you know me, Sister Pamela, since I've been home a year and a half, and I've got to get out my own way because I run myself crazy trying to execute my brains and my mind that I put in effect 20 years ago, sitting in that what I call a concrete coffin, 9x12. See, people, so you can't move. That's your space of operation. Well, your space of operation has been the wheelchair, but actually much more powerful than that because you're able to use internet, you're able to navigate still society and the world. Well, brothers incarcerated, they're handicapped totally. They can't move at all. You understand? They confined to a box. I spent at least 7 years of my prison time in solitary confinement. That's 24 hours a day in a living in a washroom.
Wow.
Maybe. Yes,
it's kind of funny. Follow up on that comment. Thank you, Tyrone, for sharing the experience. And I just want to add on by saying that being confined to a wheelchair almost feels as if your body, your physical body, is holding you prisoner. Your mind is constantly wanting to do these things. You're constantly wanting to fulfill your destiny, your potential. And you're so limited where you can feel as if your own body is your own enemy or your worst enemy. But you are correct in the sense that I feel like because of my disability, I have been able to truly use my mind in a way that other people don't really have to when they take for granted. There's almost a disregard for intellectual prowess anymore, and I have valued that because that's all I've had to depend on is my mind and navigating the world with my mind.
Man, that's so amazing. I used to watch the telethons all the time and just watch the greatness of the men and women that was confined to wheelchairs through muscular dystrophy or whatever. I mean, all the different ailments. Yes, and I used it. I never missed a Jerry Lewis telethon because I was all, and I've sent so much money through that. I bust my piggy banks sending money that way. So to hear you all, you know, I just want the brothers out there to know, you know, that's incarcerated and that has been incarcerated, to really understand the relationship that we must have with our sisters and brothers that are confined to wheelchairs. And I visit hospitals and I do my part as best as I can, given my time and circumstances, to give some love and to support. So Sister Pamela say, call. I'm on the road, and I got my little phone clipped to the window, and I'm talking to y'all while driving. And she told me to call, and I said I'm calling. So that's what it is, sister. And I'm please.
Thank you.
Please, if you're
such a Go ahead, brother.
Oh, awesome. Thank you.
My
Thank you for calling.
And I would really like to keep in touch with you and what it is that you're doing, you know, especially intellectually. That's everything.
Yes, sir.
I'm definitely on Facebook. You can find me through Pamela.
Okay.
Yes, brother.
Send me an info. All right, thank you. I appreciate you, Pamela. Like I said, I'm on this road, and I need to focus, because y'all going to make me crash.
You will not crash.
Right.
Your destination.
That's right.
Yes,
love you, brother. Thank you so much, and I definitely be supporting you, and always love you. May Allah bless you. Thank you.
You too. Peace.
Yes, sir. Peace. Oh, such a beautiful brother. What's another fresher brother? I'm Brother Tyrone.
Definitely. Absolutely.
Yes, ma'am.
Because it's about the interconnectedness of everything. You know, it's about how connected experiences are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he'd never used a wheelchair, I'm assuming, but he understood the feeling of it. And that's what that's what I hope to show people is the universality of our experiences.
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. You're absolutely right. You know, and I sometimes use this analogy or what have you, I say. I have wings like a bird in a sense, but I feel like I'm in a cage, you know, and I'm always wanting to do so many things that, of course, I have to have help with doing those things. And so you have to have a balance of, you know, how to do things, but yet wanted to do things, but at the same time, find that person that you can connect with to help you do the things that you desire to do. But absolutely. Yes, ma'am. Okay, we have a couple more questions, and definitely those that are online, if you want to give a comment or give our sister some love, then push one, and I definitely bring you right on in. As I was about to ask the question previously, and you know, we stopped and talked to our beautiful brother about teaching. What are children? What are the most rewarding things that there is of teaching?
I'm sorry, my phone must have cracked up. Say that again.
Yes. Oh, I said, what is the most rewarding things have you experienced in teaching the
children? Most rewarding thing. The most rewarding thing, let's see. That rewarding thing for me is to actually have my students become more confident in themselves as learners.
Mm-hmm.
I get my students at the beginning of the year and they either have had negative experiences in school or they've had years of failure or they have no one who motivates them and they don't feel as if someone believes that they can do well.
Mm-hmm.
And throughout the year, you know, just through, again, the idea of nurturing and also showing them what it is that they're doing wrong. Why are they not learning the way that they should? Explaining to them that it's not just about your brain, but also about your habits, your behaviors, and the way you see yourself. That allows them to have the courage to try a little harder with the academic parts. I'm able to form really strong relationships with them and be that voice that tells them, no, you're fine, you can do it. Just try it a little harder or come up for lunch and get some extra help. And when you see the face of a child who finally got it, something that's been in their way for a long time, it's like seeing the sun in the morning. It's a really great feeling.
Beautiful. Yes, ma'am. That is absolutely wonderful. The next question we have coming in is the question was, how did you do things for your baby? Being in a wheelchair, that's one of the questions that just came in.
When I had my daughter, I was still in my marriage, I'm still married, and I had a full-time home attendant And they also had someone that I would pay to help me with certain things that were more routine. My home attendants were always really great people. I always ended up with the best home attendants at the very right time, like when I had my surgery, when I had my daughter. So I was able to get help in that way, and I have a mom who's extremely supportive. So she would do a lot of the bigger things that needed to be done, you know, for a child. But I always made sure that I held my daughter. I always held my daughter. I did the whole breastfeeding bit for a few, didn't like it much. You know, I tried to do as much as I could. I used the carrier when I could to, you know, to keep her close to me. And, I spent time with her in the bed, but I always relied on someone to do the physical aspect of her care. And I've always been blessed to have someone there to help.
Yeah, absolutely right. It's so, so important to have a good caregiver. And as you know, as you were stated earlier in your clip of the pay that they sometimes they get paid, that it's really, to me, it's not enough for the things that, you know, a caregiver has to do for, you know, certain people in our particular situation. But I always pray and I always ask a lot, God, to send me someone that has a heart, a mind, a spirit and passion, and not just about the you know, the money. And I always try to be that person, you know, that's caring, and God knows He gave me a heart, a soul, and, you know, and love for people. So I always pray that He send me someone like that. And I must say that overall, God has really, He has really, you know, sent me people to really help me to do my daily living, which is so important. And so I just try to give the love out that I want to receive, as I stated earlier this week on Facebook. You know, try to be the love, share the love that you want to experience. And so that's very important, too, because we all are trying to do this thing we call life, and it has many challenges, many ups and downs, and sometimes, you know, it's like a maze. You don't know which way you're going to, what you're going to hit, what you're going to see, et cetera. But the most important thing is to treat people like you want to be treated. And overall, that will, you know, it helps. It definitely helps. And it, you know, it definitely helps in situations. So you're absolutely right. That's beautiful. Yes, man, with your, you know, the, your baby girl. I saw her. She's growing up now. She's a beautiful young girl. Yeah, a lot of bless her.
Thank you. Definitely a handful.
Yes, ma'am. The next question is relationship. There's another thing about taboo that some people seem to think that a person in a wheelchair doesn't have the same desires as anyone else, and it sometimes blows my mind. I'm like, I'm a woman, you know, just like, you know, any other woman with, of course, natural desires and et cetera. My question is, do you, dear sister, have that, you know, been the same experience sometimes as, you know, people, as I say, as a wheelchair and think this, like, I don't know, like we are totally different from the human species sometimes. So what would you say to those who have that unfortunate misperception that people in wheelchairs don't want to or can't have a normal life or a relationship?
I think, well, there's a lot to be said on that topic. So I'll I'll start by just saying I have a daughter, and she was conceived naturally. I had a very normal relationship in the sense that we met, we liked each other, we dated, and eventually we had, you know, we had sex and we got married. So, and I was dating before my husband, my ex-husband, sorry, and I have continued to date since my marriage. I have, I have a normal sex drive, I would say. You know?
Yes.
I have a normal sex drive. I desire to go out and have a good time. You know, I appreciate intellectual conversations. You know, with the opposite sex, I get to learn about myself. I get to understand, you know, the other gender. And it's, for me, it's just the most normal thing in the world. Whatever I choose not to do, for example, right now I'm celibate, but that's my choice. It's not because there is some doctor's warning on my wall saying, don't have sex. It, you know, I still fear anyone taking advantage of me. You know, I'm just as worried as the next woman about being raped or, you know, having something slipped into my drink, you know, because men do try to talk to me all the time as well. And there are times when I have to reject men as well. So there's nothing different between the stories that I would tell a group of my female friends who are able-bodied. That's any different from the stories that they tell me. So it's, again, the shared experience. You know, I do the same things. I might be a little different, you know, or I might do a little less, you know, in terms of movement and different positioning, but there really is no difference in my emotions and my desire for human interaction and contact as well, you know?
Yes. Absolutely, you're absolutely right, sister. Beautiful answer. The next question is, what do you, the next question they wanted to know, what were your experience of being in this wheelchair and what inspired you to become Miss New York, I believe, in 2017? Yes,
yeah,
New York, yes. All right. Yes, ma'am. They want to know what were your experience on that.
Sure. I won't say that I was inspired to try out for Miss Wheelchair in New York. I would say that I was, you know, someone sparked my interest in it, and I was drawn to it because of the platform that it allowed me to have to express, you know, my concerns about the way that just people with disabilities are treated in this country and, you know, in our state of New York. So for me, it was more of being able to voice a lot of things that people don't know, things that I talk about in the classroom all the time and amongst my peers and my friends, my loved ones. And I felt like this would give me a larger audience to do that because they're always telling me, oh, you should write. Oh, you should do this. You need to give talks. And I'm always saying, well, I'm a teacher, you know, like how much can I do? And I feel like Miss Wheelchair New York gave me the exposure and the people to talk to who understood and wanted to have a voice for themselves. And what was the second part of that question? What inspired me and how did I find the experience?
Yeah.
The experience was rewarding. The experience was, it was really rewarding. And I enjoyed it. For me, it was a little bit more complicated because I did work full time. I work full time. I'm a mom full time. I'm a single mom, and I'm always managing my home attendance. So it was a little difficult in the sense of I was tied to my job. I was tied to be close to home, and in order to be a really effective activist, you have to be able to get up and kind of go and.
Yeah.
Those things usually happen during the daytime. I'd get called for seminars. It'd be, you know, 9 to 11 or 11 to 1. And again, I'm committed to my job as a teacher. So I had to turn down a lot of the speaking engagements, which was limiting my voice. So, you know, it was twofold. I was feeling like I wasn't being the advocate I wanted to be. And that didn't make me feel really good, but I really appreciated what came from it, you know?
Oh, yes, ma'am. Okay. It's wonderful, you know? You made an impact. You definitely inspired me because I saw you in the quiz book, and I'm like, wow, beautiful. And I said, I'm going to have her on my show one day. And here you are.
And it is an honor to be here. Yes.
Thank you so much. And we do have another caller. 832, you're online. Thank you and welcome to Pamela Patterson Lightning Program. with our dear sister.
Yes, assalamu alaikum, family.
I'm sorry, this is my beautiful sister, Denise Renee Muhammad. Beautiful sister. Yes, ma'am. Welcome and thank you so much, dear sister.
Thank you, and greetings to your guest as well.
Thank you. Good evening.
How are you? Sister Pam shared your one of your videos with me today, and it is just so inspiring. Everything that you're doing, you know, you don't let anything limit you. And I admire that because I myself have to get around in a wheelchair. And mine is due to a surgery I had when I was younger, when I was 12. So everything you all are saying, I experienced pretty much all that, you know. And I didn't have a question. I just wanted to commend you, and you're just a beautiful soul, and you're brave, and you know everything that you're doing is really inspiring. And where I always say, where there's a will, there's a way.
That's right.
I agree.
Yes, because I was told I wouldn't be able to have children. You know, after I had that surgery, and it caused. I had a cyst on my spinal cord, and they had to do surgery. They said if I didn't get the surgery, then I would end up paralyzed. And so my mom, I was 12 at the time, and my mom, you know, she allowed the surgery. And ever since then, you know, I've had gradual weakness in my lower extremities, and I was told that I wouldn't be able to have children. But God said otherwise, and I have four healthy children. You know, the pregnancies were wonderful. I didn't have any, you know, complications or anything like that. And what Brother Tyrone said earlier when he called in about the power of the mind, because people wonder, you know, how are you driving? Because I can still drive. You know, I still... can do anything pretty much for myself. It's just amazing, and he is so correct. The mind is very powerful. We can do so much, you know, just by using our minds. And what, like I said, well, there's a will, there's a way, and I was just determined to, you know, be able to keep my independence and be able to do as much as possible for myself. And I just wanted to share that and with you all. Sister Pam is such a beautiful, inspiring sister herself, and I appreciate you all for having this
Thank
show.
Thank you so
this
much.
Is, you know, yes, people need to hear this and know that we are human. You know, to get that feeling like people would look at me or talk to me or treat me like I wasn't human, like I don't have feelings. We do. We're human. We just have to go about things a little bit differently, but we still feel and all of that. So,
thank you. Thank you, Brother Beatrice, Sister Denise. I just love her. She's such a beautiful person. She's so smart, really, and she has a talk show, and she's an author, and she has a central art specialist, and she just does it all. So thank you, sister. Thank you so much. Beautiful, my love. I can't to bless you. Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Wow, I'm loving it. So much love, and that's what it's all about. Uplifting each other, you know, and the talents that we have, and the more we lift up each other and love each other and do right by each other, the more God will help all of us to be the best that we can do individually. So with that, beautiful, let me see if we have any more callers. And then I get one or two more questions in, but I'm not going to keep you too long. Because I know you have to get up in the morning and do what you do.
Well, I have a daughter who wants to show me stuff that she got from the high school fair.
Don't worry.
Oh,
she is short. regular mom stuff.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. For those that online, if you'd like to ask a sister a question or give us a love, push one and come on in. Don't be shy. This is Pamela Powers, and you know everyone's welcome. And it's about love and sharing and uplifting and motivating and et cetera. So with that. We have a question, and the question is, what do you do when you're not working? Do you, I know definitely you enjoy shopping, because I can see it, and so they wanted to know what do you enjoy doing outside of
I hope my mom is not listening to this part of the show, but I do like to indulge in the occasional shopping outing. I really enjoy presenting my best self, and a large part of presenting my best self is looking good, and that makes me feel really good about myself. So I do take, you know, some time out to do shopping and the nails and all that good stuff. I'm also an avid reader. I love reading. I read all the time. Most of the time because it's job related, I'm, you know, always reading to prepare for what I'm teaching my students. But I also love indulging in politics and social theory and just all kinds of crazy stuff. So reading is another indulgence, you know, another passion of mine. And writing, as you might be, as you're aware, I just got my first piece published in USA Today. And have been trying, you know, I've been having these fantasies about breaking into the field of writing, you know, as I transition, you know, I'm going to eventually not be teaching. It's physically, you know, taxing.
Right.
So, eventually I'll have to do something else. And writing, you know, again, that idea of voice, that idea of enlightening, you know, teaching through words, you know, and I love that, you know. And, you know, of course I like the other things that people do, you know. Go out every now and again, watch a movie and stuff like that. But I enjoy quiet moments to myself as well. I work with people, so.
I understand. You have to have a balance somewhere there. You're absolutely right. I can relate to that. I like shopping, love shopping, and also reading, it just takes you, you know, to another world. I do read, you know, for to be educated, but also, you know, just for fun, et cetera. So I can definitely relate to that. And the beauty of it is these days you can write your own book. You know, you can do all that online yourself and self-publish and get your book published. I was supposed to definitely know about that. Denise has, I think, 3 or 4 beautiful books that she has read, et cetera. So that's great, sister. Beautiful. And we have one more question. And again, let me say this for those that are online. You can push one, and I will definitely bring you right up in before we end the show in about 10 minutes. But other than that, we do have one or two more questions that I can get in before we end the show. The next question is, let me make sure my computer is not sticking up on me. But the next question is, what I know you just kind of answered that, but they wanted to know, what are your future goals? And I know you mentioned writing and, you know, after retirement from teaching. Yes, ma'am.
Writing is one of my goals, and I say one of my goals because I feel like I might have a whole bunch of goals going on here, but I actually obtained a master's in educational leadership, which makes me capable of being a principal for a school, and I have always had that desire to make it to administration. I just see that as another, I see that as another great platform to empower people and empower children. I mean, well, children are people. I meant adults and children.
So yes, that's one of my other goals, and to own a home in Arizona, strangely enough. I want to be in a nice temperate climate that reminds me of my native island of Jamaica.
Wow, beautiful. I always wanted to go to Jamaica, you know, for a vacation, and hopefully before my journey of life is over, I can, you know, go there and have some fun and fun.
Let me know. I'll tell you where to go.
Okay. Well, thank you. I definitely will. Definitely, that gets one of my goals. I love traveling when all possible. You know, I love it. It's almost like, part of me is like seems like an eagle because I'm always wanting to go somewhere. I just came back from Mississippi last week. And it's just like, I just love traveling, but of course, you know, in my position, I have to have someone to accommodate me, definitely that can, you know, help me with my daily needs, et cetera, but definitely that. Okay. Yes,
well, if
ma'am.
If I could touch on the topic of traveling, I don't know if this has been your experience as well, but traveling by air has been kind of a nightmare. I don't know if you have gotten had your chair broken, you know, coming back from vacation, or having no proper service while you're in flight. So there's still a lot of work to be done, even globally. Yeah. You know, with airlines in how they treat that should go on vacation to come back and have the entire arm of my chair ripped off. Like, it's a life assisting device, and I don't know how people can't understand that, you know?
Yes, ma'am. You're right, sister. And I've been on an airplane a couple of times, but by the grace of God, thank you, that well, to be honest, I wanted to take my chair one time. It was like 2 years ago. And I just wanted to take it so bad. But I had this intuition, and it was God telling me, no, ma'am, don't take your chair, because every time I tried to say I want, you know, make a arrangement to take, it was something coming up when I called the people and asked them about, you know, about the handling and the security of my wheelchair, they would give me the runaround. So eventually, I just had to, you know, say, and then I talked to some other people who also have taken their wheelchairs, and they, you know, the chair came back and just ripped apart, and here they were, couldn't maneuver themselves in a very awkward position. And so, therefore, you're absolutely right. We need to voice our opinion, definitely make changes when it comes to people traveling, you know, and our position in the airplane. But they, you know, a lot of times they just do not treat the chairs like they should, the handle of the chairs like they should, and they must understand that is part of our livelihood. You know, when my chair breaks down, I'm going to be real. I'm very sad when I don't have my motorized. You know, sometimes when I'm traveling, of course, I have to take my manual chair, but this chair is like my arms. You know, it just makes everything easier to eat with, to maneuver, to write, to turn pages, or whatever you need to do when you're used to your chair. And our position is very, very vital that we have these chairs. So, yes, we do have to make changes. They're making some changes, but they definitely have to make more changes for those of us that travel, whether it's in the air or on the, you know, the road, et cetera, and make things much more easier. So you're absolutely right, sister. So we definitely, I'm going to be writing local representatives, et cetera. And that's why it's so important also to be an advocate for yourself and for those that, you know, need help and may not can speak for themselves. So I am on the advocacy and disability advocacy here in my city. And it's important for all of us to get out and to voice our opinion, because if we don't voice our opinion and, you know, try to make life for ourselves better, then who will? So with that, I'm going to digress and see if there's anyone else that would like to make a comment. If not, and then I'm going to give you the last word, dear sister. If anyone else would like to, yes, hello. I think I heard a sister. A sister. If anyone else would like to make a, say anything before we close up, then definitely you can do that at this time. If not, then I'm going to turn it over to our special guest and allow her to end the show. It's been such a beautiful honor. I mean, I've definitely enjoyed myself. Beautiful sister.
As did I. As did I.
Thank you. So with that, I'm going to digress and allow you to say whatever you want to say, what you're working on, et cetera, and how they can contact you if they need to ask questions or whatever. Thank you so much.
Okay, I'm closing out the show. Let's see what to say. I want to start by just thanking you, Sister Pamela, for having me on your show. I thank you for finding value in my ideas and having me, you know, talk to your beautiful audience. And I want to thank your audience for calling in and, you know, just sharing your stories with me. It definitely helps me, you know, to know that people are compassionate and thoughtful and out here loving each other. So I thank, you know, thank everyone who's listening. And I just want to say in closing that the greatest thing that we can do is just love each other and to see within others. You know, we tend to think that we're more different than we are. And the truth is it's only the body that really is different. And you can thrive and you can survive in the most arduous of conditions, you know, with the right people around you to love you and the right amount of will to do well. I'm thinking of something poignant to say, but I don't think I have anything poignant to say. But I just want people to understand that I am more than what you see on the outside. And the more that you can look past these superficial differences, the better you can get to understand life and humanity and what we are when we're in this common struggle, you know, to find that higher person that's inside of us.
Wow.
And now I'll just tell people how to reach me. I'm definitely on Facebook. The name is Danium Anderson. It's on Sister Pamela's wall under this announcement for the show, Danium Anderson. It's the same, and my social medias have all the same names, except my Twitter. They chopped off the N. And you can reach me on Messenger, and I'm pretty good at getting back to people. You know, there are times when I'm not as quick because I might be immersed in grading, but I definitely try to get around to questions, and I'm looking forward to forming lifetime bonds and friendships with people that I come in contact with. And I love you all, and I wish the very best for you.
Thank you, sister. We love you, too. You are always welcome at the Initiative Radio Network at Pamela Pilot and Light to Match. Thank you so much. It's been an honor. May Allah continue to bless you and your family. Such a beautiful example of God and His Spirit and His creation. And with that, thank you all so much for joining us. My beautiful sister, Denise Renee Muhammad, and our beautiful brother, Tyrone Muhammad. Thank you all so much. And all the other listeners who, submitted your questions, thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And with that, assalamu alaikum, which means peace unto you. And to that, good night, everyone.
Good night, Sister Pamela.
Good night, Sister.